Chapter 14. Rouge. For the first time in a long time, maybe ever, Zoe didn't want to play Veritas Online. It wasn't that there wasn't anything to do, but that there was too much to do, and she didn't actually care about any of it. She was glad people were building houses and shops and forges and whatever else they wanted to build. There were 100 quests she could get just by asking the magical question, "How can I help?" She just didn't want to do fetch quests, water flowers for old grannies, and escort people to and from the usable areas of the river. The Glyphis reluctantly allowed people to gather water and reeds from near their pond, but they'd strictly prohibited fishing. Even with the extreme immersion of her snazzy new pod, she just couldn't lose herself in it like she'd always been able to before, especially with the memory of her confrontation with Myrna running through her head on repeat. What she wanted to do was go find Phantom Hat and Akuji, and stuff their swords along with their attitudes right up their undead behinds. But no, she had to wait until they came north. Waiting was not one of her superpowers, and so she mostly avoided the whole issue by just not playing, which worked out fine, because they didn't even need her, with all of the other players who were hanging out online all the time. Jace, for instance? Zoe stared down at the screen in her hand, willing it to chime. She'd long since given up watching the vid that was playing, and now it was just background noise. "Zoe," her dad said from where he was sitting at the dining room table, grading the first assignments of the semester. "Why don't you go outside and play with Max?" Max, hearing his name, looked up from where he was lying, draped across Zoe's legs, ears perked hopefully. "I don't wanna," she muttered. Sighing, her dad ran his hand over his hair. "Zoe, sweetheart, if you keep scowling at that screen like that, it's going to break or your face is. If you want to talk to Jace, why don't you go play? Your homework is done, right?" Zoe rolled over, pulling the pillow she was leaning against so that it was between her and her dad, as if it could deflect his words. "Yeah. I still don't want to. Zoe." Hearing the warning tone in his voice that indicated he was getting fed up with her teenageriness, Zoe flung the pillow away and tugged her feet out from under Max's warm bulk. The dog grumbled his disapproval, and Zoe patted his head apologetically. "Fine. I'll go play the stupid game." She made a break for it quickly, before her dad could remind her that there were dishes to be done and the carpet could stand to be vacuumed. As she pounded up the stairs, intentionally making as much noise as her 100 pounds could produce, the screen she still held vibrated. Zoe flung herself up the last 4 stairs, easily leaping over them all, to land almost silently on the landing at the top of the steps. Fortunately, there was no way her dad could see her do this, or questions would be asked. It wasn't Jace, but it was almost as good. Zoe ducked into her room, flicked open the message from her sister, and stared down at it. "Adoom Lily, finally convinced the system at my old high school that I'm me. I can't download someone else's image or even screencap it because privacy, but here's my login. FH's real name is Clayton Harris. I'll send you the authentication code when you try to log in." Zoe copied the info over to her clipboard and opened the link. Lily hadn't gone to the same high school Zoe went to, or Zoe probably could have pulled the physical yearbooks from the library. They still had a few printed every year, though Zoe didn't know where they were stored. Unfortunately, thanks to the Internet Privacy Acts sponsored by politicians and celebs, who were tired of having their school photos made fun of online, the digital copies were pretty strictly protected. She pasted Lily's credentials in, and clicked on the button to send a confirmation code to the ad associated with the account. A few seconds later, her screen chimed as Lily forwarded the code. Zoe put in this code as well, and then she was into the website of Lily's old school. It only took a few taps to take her to the section where she could access the digital yearbooks, though all of them were grayed out except the years Lily had actually attended school there. Zoe touched her sister's sophomore year, and the screen took her directly to Lily's photo. Below it was her name, followed by a brief blurb Lily had written about what she'd been doing since high school, though it didn't specify where she was living or going to school now. "Now to find Phantom Hat." Zoe skimmed pages until she found the seniors, then focused on the faces looking up at her. Somehow they looked younger than the seniors at her school, though maybe it was just the vapid, beaming smiles most of them presented to the camera that made them seem that way. Anyway, Zoe shook her head. People weren't cheese, and age didn't matter. Where was good ol' FH? Aha! Zoe's finger paused on the flat countenance of a hefty young man. His dark eyes, narrowed by weight and a faint epicanthic fold, stared out with a familiar deadpan stare. His skin, which looked as if he either never went outside or wore SPF 100 everywhere, added to the vague feeling that he was formed of something other than flesh. In fact, Zoe thought he bore a faint resemblance to the white button mushrooms her dad liked to pile on their pizza. On top of his round head, a tight afro of light brown curls grew in a lumpy mass. His broad nose, with its slightly flat bridge, argued that someone in his family tree was black, though his eyelids had a slight epicanthic fold. Of course, then there was that pasty skin, which was whiter than white, and all of it came together in a pretty unfortunate package. Zoe squinted at the image. The eyes and pale skin looked just like his avatar in-game, though as Lily had noted, he must have lost quite a bit of weight in order to be as skeletal as he appeared in Vo. In fact, if Zoe imagined him about 50 pounds lighter. She pulled up her archived photos, digging back through months' worth of images of Max being cute, Nina flashing a peace sign, pretty flowers, badly captured sunrises, the occasional selfie, and… there. Her finger paused on the dark, blurry image of the inside of a car. She'd snapped this photo the first time she'd ever caught a rideshare with Jackie, since her dad insisted on getting a pic of anyone who drove her anywhere. Most of the image was Jackie, with his cool dude glasses and a bird shaved into the sides of his short black hair. In the back, though, was the only other passenger. Mr. Harrison. If his hair was muddy brown, and he put on some weight. Oh. Oh, duck. Fingers flying, she snapped off a message to Jackie. A few seconds later, the answer came back, and she stared at it. A Jackie Chan 411, sup Z. That guy is Philip Clayton Harris 3. Asa bammer, yo. Why you need it? Philip Clayton Harris 3. Clayton Harris. Mr. Harrison. Phantom hat. They were all the same person, Zoe was certain. But how and why? The key, she had a feeling, was in why and how Fart Hat had gone from Harris to Harrison. After all, schools and businesses were both crazy for legal names. She'd once known a boy named Egbert who just wanted to be called Bert, because even though that was bad, at least it didn't invite all the jokes about how he was going to crack his eggs. Their teacher had been sympathetic, but whenever anything official went up, like class lists or seating charts, there was the full name, in all its ovoid glory. So, had FH actually changed his legal name to add the on for some reason, or had he somehow lied to Veritas Corp and gotten away with it? The fact that Jackie's rideshare app still had him listed as Harris argued that it was Veritas that had it wrong. As far as Zoe knew, it would take someone pretty high up to change that. Or possibly someone much lower down, but in exactly the right or wrong from Zoe's perspective place. Like a certain snake in the human resources department. Now the question was why? Zoe's mind whirled. Why? Did Philip hate his name that much? Harris and Harrison were both super common, and it wasn't like the guy was named Butts or Hooker or something. What possible reason could there be for the change? She flipped through her images idly as she thought, but paused on one with Nina leaning back on their bench, sunlight on her face, eyes closed behind the truly epic silver button-covered eyeglasses she wore. In a sudden frenzy of tapping, Zoe sent a message to her friend. The answer took longer this time, since Nina had to look up the answer to Zoe's question, but then the screen buzzed. At Ninino's, three Harrises and four Harrisons working at the main campus alone, and a bunch more in the company in general. You know Phil Harris in design, and there's that creepy guy in R&D, Clay Harrison. There's Bill and Christina Harris in sales. They're married. Then Viv Harrison in customer service, Lydia Harrison in art, and Akiko Harrison is the secretary for the head of finance. What's up? Okay, so the secretary was an option. If a name got changed, finance would probably know, because that person would still want to be paid, and they could only do that under their legal name, unless they'd managed to scam a financial institution too. Really though, what were the odds that Harris, nervous little rodent man Harris, would be named Phil too? Zoe had only ever heard him called Harris, or Mr. Harris. He was maybe a little past 30, which wasn't anywhere near old enough to be Phantom Hat's dad. But maybe he was an older brother, though they didn't look anything alike except for the pale complexion and light brown hair. Was that how the suffix thing even worked? Like, presumably there was a Philip Clayton Harris the first out there somewhere, and Design Harris and F.H. Harrison were both named after that guy? Zoe did a quick internet search for Philip Clayton Harrises. There were a surprising number of Clayton Phillipses, but not so many the other way around. The ones that she did find were usually in the public record because they were dead or in jail, except for Tap. Tap. A generous member of many local charitable organizations, Philip Clayton Harris passed away peacefully in his sleep on Saturday due to complications from liver cancer. He was 72. The reclusive entrepreneur survived by daughter Philippa Harris, son Philip Harris II, and Philippa's son Philip Harris III. A private visitation will be held from 2 to 4 p.m. Tuesday at. That was it. No pictures, no more quotes, just a few charity pages thanking Mr. Harris I for his generous donation and mentioning that he would be missed. Zoe could practically feel Nina's conspiracy brain pulling her in though, and she just knew that Harris was the son and Phantom Hat was the grandson. And somehow, for some reason, they were working together with Ms. McKean to do something. Zoe snapped her screen shut and stood up from the chair at her desk. She had just put together a whole lot of puzzle pieces. Now, it was time to lay it out on the table with her friends and see if they could figure out the whole thing. Before Fanny Hat and the snake managed to kill anyone. If it wasn't already too late.